Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Big Tales. This is our podcast discussing our favorite actors' performances.
Oh, we're saying actors now.
We're saying
we're dishing actresses. Now. Okay.
Is there a distinction? Like, I mean,
yeah, gender distinction.
No, I mean, outside of the obvious gender difference, like, is there like a categorically difference?
The category, like, is gender.
No, but like, there are certain instances that I think it's important to specify using actress, and sometimes we can generally use. Like, for example, if it's like a film talking specifically about like gender performance, I think that calls upon it more. But I don't know, like, just go by actor.
I mean, it's the same thing as like waiter or waitress. Who says that? Nobody says waitress. Who says waitress?
No, I don't think so. I never tell people by what they do.
Oh, I do.
What film are we talking about today?
We're doing
a month of Scream Queens. This is our second episode on our Scream Queen selections. Do you want to tell people what we're watching?
We are talking about Jamie Lee Curtis in the 1978 horror film Halloween. Spooky. I almost said Jamie Lynn Spears. Britney Spears is on my mind. I keep reading about her book.
Jamie Lee Squirtus.
Ew.
What are your, like, I mean, the film, I feel like a lot of people have watched it. It's my first time watching it. And I went in with a lot of expectation.
It's your first time watching it? That's really interesting.
It's my first time watching it. I was fairly disappointed.
Oh, really? Did you know it's an indie film?
It was?
Yeah.
What makes it indie, though?
It's an independent film company. It's not like a big corporate
production,
like big budget thing.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. If you,
the budget was $300,000.
And how much was spent on Jamie?
$2. Nothing. It was her fucking first role. She probably did it for free. She did it for the exposure.
For the exposure as a nepotic, what is it called? As a nepo baby.
Right. I'll just talk about what it's about, and then you can tell me your thoughts, even though you just said you're disappointed. It takes place in a fictional town in Illinois. It starts off with this like POV. It loves to do the POV of Michael Myers. So anyways, it starts with this POV of this person in this dark house who then stabs this naked woman. And that turns out to be a child, Michael Myers. And then we skip ahead, and essentially Michael Myers breaks out of this insane asylum, and he is just on the loose. And he ends up stalking Jamie Lee Curtis, whose name is escaping me, Lori something. And he kills her friends and then tries to kill her. But she survives. Like,
she is the final girl.
She is the final girl.
She is it the first final girl that in like horror history?
I don't know. Do your research.
I don't know either. That doesn't matter. We're not known as a podcast, as a research intensive podcast.
We could
podcast.
Be.
As you are Googling right now, my thoughts on the movie are like, it's like, I mean, just fundamentally, it is a good horror movie. It lays a lot of the groundwork of like what we contemporary right now think of like a horror film should have. Like a small town, charming American town, and like this mysterious, creepy killer, and like the kind of smart, sexy final girl. Like formulaically, I think it makes a lot of sense. But I think, like, going back as like a first time viewer, I think it's quite linear. But I can appreciate how simple the plot is, right?
Yeah, this is also labeled as a slasher. I'm like, what the hell did they think a slasher was? Like, I need blood, I need guts, I need special effects, I need limbs being chopped off. Like, what? Just because he stabs someone with a knife and some ketchup is there? Like, that is not a slasher. Ketchup does not a slasher make. And just to answer your final girl question, this is one of the first examples of a final girl. It's not the first, but final girls started coming up in the 70s, and so this is one of the first.
Right. We like to, I mean, kind of continuing our last week conversation about, like, why is there a final girl instead of, like, a final boy? I mean, like, I think the final girl trope is so specific to the horror genre. I think it talks more about, like, oh, we don't expect a girl to make it through, like something so horrifying, but she makes it through.
Well, what do you think of, like, the characteristics of a final girl?
I think it's so obvious in the very beginning of the movie. Like, Laurie was in a class, and, like, she's not even paying attention to the teacher. And, like, she's looking outside the window, and, like, she is slowly figuring out something sinister is following her. Even though she's not listening to the teacher, she's able to answer those questions and, like, kind of be being portrayed as the nerd and also, like, the person that knows better, like sort of kind of the adult figure in the friend group, right? So it's pretty heavy-handed to me, but I appreciate it, though.
I mean, the final girl, just some characteristics that are listed here. She's typically sexually unavailable or virginal, which is applicable in this film.
I really relate to that.
She, like, avoids partying and drinking and drug use and all the other things that her friends do. Like, she's a little bit of a bore, if we're being honest. She often has a unisex name.
Laurie. Does it matter, the name?
I don't know. And she occasionally has a shared history with the killer.
Interesting.
So, I mean, are you going to watch the Halloween trilogy or, like, the Halloween franchise, or can I just spoil for you?
I've watched some of the future ones. I haven't watched this, the very original version of it.
But have you seen other ones with Jamie?
Yes, where she chopped his head off.
Okay. So you know that they're, like, brother and sister, yeah?
I think that was only... There are no brothers and sisters in this film.
Not in Halloween 1, but yes, in Halloween 2, it's revealed that they're brother and sister.
Girl, please.
That is... So, you know when child Michael Myers kills that girl at the beginning? That is, like, Laurie was a baby. That is both of their older sister.
Okay.
And then what happens... Let me just gush it all. Then what happens is after that... after that older sister's killed, trigger warning, the mom kills herself, and basically Laurie kind of doesn't really remember Michael Myers because she was a baby, so she finds out they're related. And then eventually, when Jamie Lee Curtis didn't want to do the film anymore, this is so funny, they killed Laurie off. Like, in the next movie, it focused on Laurie's daughter, and the daughter was like, yeah, my mom died. And that's, like, all that her character got. But then those two movies didn't do well. So then when Jamie Lee agreed to come back, they just ignored that ever happened.
It's the Halloween multiverse.
They were like, she faked her death. It's okay.
Turns out Laurie is the real killer, and she is the villain of the season, after all.
Crazy. There's been so many movies at this point.
I feel like the movie didn't really, I mean, it was implied that, like, Michael was this, like, incel that's, like, obsessive with, like, the sister figure, maybe.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you were disappointed. You said it was linear. Did you find it at all scary, suspenseful, horrific?
I kind of find it a little too heavy, like, too lighthearted. I was looking through the lens of like what the community looks like. Like, for example, we talked about one of the movies from Angela Bassett, Waiting to Exhale, like Phoenix, Arizona. Like, this movie, I'm so drawn to, how can I understand, like, American lifestyle through movies? And, like, just from the fashion itself, I'm more drawn to, like, the whole, like, small town vibes. right. movies like this.
I loved everyone's hair in this movie, let me just say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really love also, Jamie Lee Curtis's hair in this movie.
Jamie Lee was looking so good. Like, very form-fitted, very, like, prudish, but also kind of had this athleticism about her, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really looking at it from, like, a horror perspective, but just, like, understanding I'm watching it from, like, hey, I'm finally watching this film that I've been meaning to watch.
Okay.
What was your rewatching experience?
I mean, this is kind of like Psycho, where I just watched it as a kid and haven't watched it. Oh, there's a siren. And haven't watched it in so long. So some of the times where I watching it felt like a little scared, I think was just because it was like bringing up how I felt when I watched it as a kid, you know? But I do, actually, I'll defend it. I think that the initial build-up POV is a little scary. And I think that the part where the doctor is driving to the mental institution and Mike Myers, like, smashes the car, that was a little bit freaky. Not, like, freaky, but, you know, I could see how that would be billed as, like, a scary moment. And then one part that, like, stuck out to me as a child, and so seeing it today, I was like, oh my God, is when she looks out the window and he's, like, standing amongst the sheets, and then, like, he's suddenly gone, which watching it today, I was like, she actually didn't look away. Like, she didn't even blink. So, like, where did he go? Like, realistically, you would see him, like, struggling to get out from under the sheets.
He knows how to teleport.
But
he's
skinny. I think that the movie really did plateau after that. Like, it felt like so much, like, hinting at him going to attack. Like, oh, he's behind this person, and then he doesn't attack. Like, oh, he's in the window, but then he doesn't attack. And by the time that he actually starts attacking, I'm like, thank God, like, finally, like, I'm happy to see it. Like, I've been waiting a fucking hour for this to happen. So yeah. I do think it's a little bit flat.
And he never said a word, which I think, I mean, you can argue both sides, right? Like, it adds to, like, the creep factor, but also I want a villain or, like, a horror icon that has his own mind or kind of.
I don't know. I don't know if this was the first instance of these, like, films where there is, like, this looming bad guy who doesn't really speak. Like, I'm thinking of, like, Jason as well. I feel like that was a bit of a trend. But I think that Michael Myers is, I always want to say Mike Myers, but that's just actually Shrek. I find Michael Myers to be creepy because of, like, the absence of a character. Like there's really, like, nothing there. And so that kind of freaks me out. Like, Michael Myers, there's not, like, a person underneath the mask. Like, Michael Myers literally is this, like, hollow, kind of lifeless
essence
mask. Like, that's kind of freaky to me that there's nothing there.
But if it's, like, also, like, I feel like there's no place to imagine elsewhere. Like, for example, if we're comparing it with other mass killers, I'm thinking about Scream, right? Like, I feel like part of the charm of the whole Scream franchise is, like, with each of the, in, like, each of the films, it allows us to imagine who is it and also their motivation. First, I feel like Michael Myers, we can only imagine him through the lens of the doctor. There wasn't really, like, a strong, like, at least in the film, like,
yeah,
build up to, like, motivation, also, like, the aesthetic of it.
No,
right?
But you,
like,
never get it. You never get his motivation. That's part of it. You don't understand why he's doing this, why he's killing people. Like, he's truly just this, like, amorphous, murderous thing. Like, he's not even, like, a full person.
Right.
Is that not freaky? That's freaky. If you don't know someone's motivation, then you don't know how to stop them.
But I feel like you can in some way kind of succumb to, like, the whole randomness of it all. Like, he's just killing whatever he sees. So I think that kind of takes away the charm of,
right,
also the campiness of it, right? Like, when I think of camp, I'm thinking of, like, Freddy Krueger, who's, like, his whole face is all fucked up, and like the Scream franchise, right? Like even Norman Bates, like there's a certain kind of camp factor with the bad drag that she did in the movie, which I don't know. Like I'm more so like appreciative of Jamie Lee Curtis performance as a young Scream queen.
Well, let's get into it. What did you like?
I like, first of all, like her whole getup, like the whole denim, like a whole like shirt tucked underneath like jeans, giving me Jurassic Park. What's her name?
Laura Dern.
Mm-hmm. That's so 80s, 90s-ish. I don't know. Very chic. It's like kind of bringing up the fashion again. But
girl, she didn't do the costuming. Jamie Lee didn't do the costuming. So what do you think Jamie Lee Curtis did well?
She delivered some really good scenes. Despite the movies being a little slow. I can't really think of one scene.
And that's it.
I think that's really it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like, so, oh yeah. Also, I guess we talked about this last week, but Janet Leigh is Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. That's important to know.
Hello.
And I think that's kind of fun. I think that Jamie Lee Curtis, honestly, I think this was a pretty easy role. I'm not super impressed with what she did. But I think for like a first film, I was like, work, good for you. When she discovers Michael Myers in her home, I thought her screams were absolutely ridiculous. I thought she sounded stupid.
Where was she?
She like falls down the stairs, or like she's, I forget. She's like running.
Oh, she falls down the stairs. She gets stabbed for the first time. She gets stabbed in the shoulder.
She like has this weird scream, which I've never been stabbed. Maybe I would scream that way too. But when she runs outside and she's like screaming like somebody help me, I thought those were great screams. I thought those were top-notch screams. They were so like they were so
guttural.
Like, yeah, guttural and like real. I was like, that's like really how a desperate bitch who just got stabbed would feel. And sound.
I also think that's like a one-shot sequence, right? Like when she runs out of the house. Like to the fucking neighbor, and the neighbor was like, who the fuck is this bitch screaming about?
Oh my gosh, she didn't answer the door. Would you have answered the door?
Of course I would answer the door. I'm like,
you would answer the door if you had the shrieking bloody woman outside? I mean, I would too, actually.
Like, why would you not though? Like, I feel like that was a
What if she's the problem?
Well, you should move to another neighborhood then, bitch. Like that whole sequence when she screamed from door to door and then she was knocking on her house and she forgot her keys. I feel like that was the sequence that I remember. She's like screaming to the young kid. I'm like, bitch, open the door. And she was like kind of banging on it, kind of almost like struggling to find the strength to stand up correctly.
How old was she in this movie?
She was early 20s, I think.
She was exactly 20.
Oh, okay. 20.
19 when they filmed it.
Do you think she gave a performance that is like appropriate for her age? I think so.
I think she did a fine job. I just don't think it was a very hard role.
It wasn't. There wasn't even like dialogue for her to like kind of dive into like the dramatic
exactly
space.
Like if I try to think about like, okay, do I see any of her mother in this film, I'm like thinking of that scene where Marion has dinner with Norman. There was no sort of like pensive tense sort of scene like that where we could have really seen her mom come through. Like it was really just kind of like, I'm a teenager living my life, I don't have sex, I don't party. And then this guy's going to try to kill me. And I'm shrieking and freaking out. Like there was nothing. And that's what I mean about how it kind of plateaued. Cause it was like, Michael Myers is just like lurking in the background until the last 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, do something, bitch. Like,
do you think there's a trigger? I mean, obviously it was implied in the very beginning of the film, like sex and like nudity was some kind of trigger to Myers. Like, I wonder.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm sure they get into it in future films, but like, I don't remember what his issue is. I know they never confirm why he wants to kill people, but he It's also like a horror trope. I don't know if it was before this movie, but now it's a horror trope of like girl having sex and immediately murdered after, which I don't know, maybe speaks to something, something bigger. I think it
totally speaks to something about like how like this like ominous figure called Michael. It's like this saboteur, not saboteur, but like, it's almost like punishing figure about like,
literally,
like adolescent lust and like desire and
seems or just to be female like lust in general. And then the virginal woman lives, the virginal girl lives.
Guess okay. Who's dying first, honey? If I'm ever in a horror movie,
you'll be like, fine.
Michael is like, I'll spread his faggoty ass alone. And he's like finally speaking. Like, you're too gay. I can't kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not a housewife's gay, are you?
I'm not a housewife's gay.
Because Kyle Richards is in this movie. Do you know who Kyle Richards is?
Who the fuck is Kyle Richards?
Okay, you're not a housewife's gay. For anyone who's a housewife's gay or non-gay gay, Kyle Richards is the OG Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. She's been on that show for like 15 years. And she was a child star. I'm using air quotes around star. And she's the little girl that the friend is babysitting.
Cool. Okay.
And then she was in the reboot, like the reboot from 2018. Kyle Richards was in it as an adult.
Got it.
Atrocious. Atrocious acting.
Kyle Richards. I'll be surprised if we see Kyle Richards again.
But as a housewife's gay, I needed to bring that up. There's someone out there who is going to appreciate that.
What are some of the highlights, or how do you compare the two Scream Queens?
I mean, we already kind of did. I think that Janet Leigh had both a tougher job because she was in the film for such a short period of time, but also maybe more opportunities in those 20 minutes to like show us different facets of how she can act. Like, I feel like Jamie was the same pretty much until the end.
Right.
But that's no fault of Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, that's just how the movie was written. I don't like the pacing of the film. I think it's too drawn out. Right. But I think that if you look at like the modern Halloweens when they tried to revive it and reboot it, it's like the opposite. It's like, it's like so not drawn out enough. I'm like, slow down, Michael Myers. You don't need to kill 50 people in one movie. Like
the latest one where they like the three generations all got together and try to like queen. They're basically queening out.
Oh, we haven't heard that in a while.
They're queening out on killing Michael, and like it's basically torture porn on Michael Myers. They're like even like trapping him in the fucking basement and kind of burning him with like fire and shit,
and he still doesn't talk.
Yeah, just like my dad.
Good for him.
I feel like going back to like the earlier point, I feel like the whole like horror, the source of evil, I think it is so like on the nose about this like sinister figure Michael that like it's there to punish, it's there to like seek revenge for no reason at all. Like, has it to do with like how like mainstream media kind of positions like female presentations and like,
I don't know. It's been a long day. You're wanting to dive into this analysis?
No, then like you have like future iterations of Halloween, which kind of puts that back, like almost having this like overemphasis on like the female rage and like the revenge of it. I just find it a little too linear. Like, I don't understand the appeal. Like, as a first time viewer, like I was like, I don't know if I like this or not, but
yeah,
I appreciate the simplicity.
It is simple. You also have to remember that we're in a time where like these types of movies are starting to pop up frequently. It's very much like 70s, 80s horror movies are very much their own thing, right?
Right.
So this was probably terrifying for people when it came out. Just like Psycho was probably terrifying for people when it came out. And now we're so desensitized to fucked up shit that we're like, girl, who cares if you just
killed
that
bitch. Oh, you want to see horror? You should just go open Twitter. You'll find horror.
Oh, no.
Girl. We're...
What? I'm done talking about Halloween.
Yeah. Okay, let's...
Oscar winner Jamie Lee Curtis. Oscar winner Jamie Lee Curtis. Not for this film.
Not for this film, for sure. Before we wrap up our episode on Halloween, follow us on Instagram at FilmFatalesPod.
Oh, okay. We put that in a different spot today.
Totally. What are we watching next week?
I mean, do you have any final thoughts about the film?
I don't think so. I don't have thoughts. If the only, I feel like the only way to escape murder in this film is to just give up.
Right. Right. What do you think about the, okay, wait, what do you, one thing, what do you think about like this, these horror movies where like the bitch won't die, like Michael Myers, girl, won't die, like please. he's stabbed again, he's shot, he falls off the balcony and he's gone.
I'm gonna get the biggest kitchen cleaver and chop his head off.
He would just be like, fine.
No, just like she did in the final movie, where she like, goodbye, Michael, and then like she kind of chops her fucking head off. Like if I would not be sleeping until I've done that. I don't know about you.
No, absolutely not.
What do you think about like the wardrobe scene? Finally,
I like it.
It was terrifying, actually.
Yeah, it's really suspenseful.
That was one of the scary moments, like the scary moments.
Yeah. Anyways, that is all I have to say about it.
That's all we have to say.
Next week, we are moving on to more of like a science fiction horror genre with 1979 film Alien, starring Sigourney Weaver. As what's her face? What's her name?
Eileen Wuornos.
Ellen Ripley. Ellen Ripley. It's Ellen Ripley.
Sigourney Weaver as Eileen Wuornos in space.
Now, Ellen Ripley is like she's like a major final girl. So
work.
I'm interested to see how the Scream Queen operates in like a science fiction genre.
Right. Yeah. Me too. I feel like it's more, definitely a bit more campier, and it's referenced in pop culture so frequently, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. So we can talk about like how fucked up and campy it is.
Yeah. Great.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Always follow us on Instagram at FilmFatalesPod for more memes, reviews, and ramblings. You can also leave us a 5-star rating. And thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Goodbye.